Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
97. Which is unique amongst the 90s in that it's got a 7 in it.
Yes.
It's very important.
It's also a prime number.
Hey. Go fig.
Just pulled that out of my ass and hoped I was right.
I think you might be right indeed.
Oh, I know I'm right.
Okay, good.
I haven't 9 checked. Plus 7 is 16, which is a dividable number, therefore it's prime.
You're proud of yourself.
I am.
You're proud of yourself. All right. I swear to God, we are neither drunk nor stoned. We've had a week.
I'm high on endorphins still, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
The endomorphins,
yeah.
Mighty Endorphin Power Ranger. I don't know where I'm going with this. So, let's talk a little bit about what we did this week. Why are you high on endorphins, Scott?
I completed my first 5K run walk ever.
K doesn't stand for Kit Kats, right?
It does not. It stands for kilometers. That's a metric term used to describe distance. It's the equivalent of about 3.2 miles.
Rob, help me out here. Is he lying to me? I know you guys know the metrices up there in the
metric system.
I don't know what the metric word for white is, but the Great White North. Or is North the one that would be in metric? I don't know my metric directions.
Who are you asking for help?
Rob.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were asking Stuart.
Well, Stuart would give me everything backwards or upside down.
Right. And that. So, okay.
Yeah. And with spiders.
Huge fucking obnoxious spiders.
There's a Reddit image that's been going around of this little girl having a tea party with spiders. And it just
dunking them in
the... No, like inviting them.
Oh, okay.
And it just says, yikes. Australia. So,
yeah. I'm not going to that party.
Speaking of Australia...
Yes.
Because I'm going to speak about Australia.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Last night, the night of the previous day that we had, to clarify for those of you, I don't own metric time, so I guess an Ock night.
An Ockentoshin?
Yeah, let's go with that. I saw
That's a scotch.
Oh, I saw Mad Max.
Sweet.
Fury Road. Yeah, not Furry Road. There were like three or four disappointed people there.
All in their suits. All in their suits? Yeah.
No, they're fine.
Let me guess, two beavers and a squirrel?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's go with that.
It's never the pandas that get it confused.
Well, the pandas just don't leave the house.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, come on, dude. Isn't that your spirit animal? Didn't we determine in Rude Mechanical that your spirit animal was the panda? Because you were much like the panda.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
eating
we did
the bamboo.
Yeah, we did that joke where we fake broke your foot or whatever to get it to... just had your shoe sitting in your lap, so it looked like you were cross-legged. It was amazing. Sorry to break the fourth wall for you, folks. Magic's gone.
Movie magic. Scott crossing his legs.
So, Mad Max. I wish you'd seen it, but mega thumbs up. Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
I will by the next podcast.
I would have to, aside from one issue, one minor issue, I would have to work very hard to come up with gripes about this movie.
Nice.
And I usually don't have to work very hard to come up with gripes about anything.
No.
And
never
then,
any movies you and I have seen together.
Yeah, the one built in is not even their fault. It's a producer thing.
Right.
Producers keep putting in the 3D for 3D's sake scenes in these movies. So I don't know if you've seen Green Hornet out there. I say I don't know that because I really think only about 7 people saw it. But there's a scene in Green Hornet where someone flicks a bottle cap and it goes zooming around the room in 3D.
Yeah.
And it's a common thing and I hate it so much because even in 3D, it's fucking stupid. So yeah. There's one scene where something flies at the screen like that, just for the effect of 3D, and it's very obvious.
The only ones I think that work like that for me mm-hmm. are like when there's a spear or something, not an arrow flying right. through the air, but like when someone is thrusting at someone else, and then all of a sudden you see this spear come at
no,
you.
No, that's
okay. That's impressive okay. 3D.
That's okay, and that doesn't break the 2D
right.
experience.
Right.
I'm talking like an obviously computer-generated bottle cap flying around the room like Captain America's fucking shield.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen, sorry, buddy. Ain't buying it. I'm buying you as a superhero more than I'm buying that bottle cap flying around the goddamn room.
Yes.
Anyway, great movie. Loved it.
Sweet.
Loved
it. I am beyond super excited. Mm-hmm. Thacker has talked about nothing but this as being the thing that may eventually take him out of making movies because...
They're done.
Yeah.
Like, it's that good. And it's funny he says that because that was my takeaway. Like, last night, as I was walking out, I had also this feeling of dread. I'm like, I am never going to be involved with anything like that. Not only because I, like, don't see myself getting to sort of that level in the industry, mm-hmm. But also... someone already did it now and there is never going right. to be anything like that.
Yeah.
Like they just used up all the movie. It's done now. We're going back to radio. Hey, we might have that. We might have a
yeah,
actual
there we go.
Foot in the door there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was wonderful.
And on that note, for people who want to catch up and have asked us many questions similar to this, I am discovering a new Netflix documentary episode, a new episodic documentary on the history of film that you can find on Netflix
Ooh.
Called, I believe, The Story of Film. And it's told, I believe the company is Irish, at least the narrator is.
Oh, wonderful.
And I know that it's through the BBC, so... Mm. They dispel any myths that Hollywood is the central hub of movies, and they talk about Japanese movie in mm-hmm. India,
Bollywood,
that and France Bollywood. Started cinema, not Thomas Edison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these things. So
the word
not,
is French.
Yeah. It doesn't take it from an American centric. It's all a film, and how did, and it, so far, it's really interesting, even in the silent films, about there was no such thing as a close-up until this film.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to punch in and show the little kitten eating.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, everybody's mind went boom. And then taking different perspective, allowing actors to turn their backs on camera. And all of this stuff happened in the silent film that we take for granted now is
totally
duh. So yeah, I've just gotten one episode in, and I think it's a 10 or 12 episode, and it's about every 10 years from 1895 through it was made in 2011. So
cool.
Yeah, kind of excited. So if anybody wants to watch along at home, that's
well,
in my queue.
I will make sure to catch up to where you are so we can talk about it next week.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Well, wait, we can't talk about it next week 'cause I'm not going to be here next week. Memorial Day weekend. I'm going to be in Boise, Idaho, with my kids at Anime Oasis. So if you are in Boise, Idaho, and want to say hi at Anime Oasis, I will be there. There is.
If you want to say hi any other time, fuck
I will
you.
Not be there.
Go to Anime Oasis.
In fairness, I find it very unlikely we have many listeners in Boise, Idaho. DG
Why?
Actually has...
Because you talk disparagingly about it all the time?
No, I don't think so. I just don't think that they have internet. No, they do, but... It's all potato powered. You take a copper diode and a zinc one and you shove them in a potato and boom, you're online. It's called Wi-Fi.
Oh, 25. Okay. Oh, man. Wow. That snuck in there.
It
went right under the radar and then came up and punched me in the kidney. Now I'm peeing blood. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, that's awesome
mm-hmm.
that you're going there. So,
we'll be recording late next week.
As in
Tuesday would be the earliest, probably.
Yes, and about the only day that week I would have available, because right. West of Redemption screening is on Memorial Day the 25th.
Yes.
And the Hollow One, which used to be the Darker Path, is premiering at SIFF on the 27th.
Wow.
On Wednesday. Cool. And then I believe on the 30th,
mm-hmm.
I have to double check my event calendar.
Your advent calendar?
My advent calendar.
Ooh, it's chocolate.
My favorite.
Fridays are always chocolate.
Especially if it's Parker chocolate, which isn't really chocolate. It's just
wax with
brown colored wax with some sugar in it. Worst Laid Plans, I think, is having a screening on the 30th. Not cool. affiliated with SIFF.
No. Gotcha.
So, yeah, next week's film
SIFF,
heavy.
SIFF is interesting. Speaking of sneaking something in, didn't notice until I was looking at some of the paperwork that all of a sudden this year it's International Film Festival, no longer Independent Film Festival. It may have been that way for a while, but I haven't noticed it. I've always thought of SIFF as the Seattle Independent Film Festival.
Oh, no, it's been international for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it because SIFF is the true independent?
Correct.
That's why I'm getting...
And now it's What is
Mundo?
It? Transmedia. Now it's the Seattle Transmedia Independent Film Festival.
I was really hoping it was the Telemundo.
Yeah.
Un super película para Univision.
But their awards are still glass dildos.
Well, yeah.
Because
well,
you're getting the stiffy.
Why wouldn't you want a glass dildo?
By the way, anyone who backed this, Gordon Duke... and maybe two other people, Unidentified Flying Assholes, was finally released, and it was screened at SIFF, only they gave everybody the wrong day.
Oh, fuck.
And they said it was going to screen on the 8th, and then they screened it on the 6th. So, like, nobody was in attendance.
They fireflied you, dude. They fireflied you. Only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, be looking for that gem of a... wonderfully independently produced fun fest.
I heard the like rubber prosthetic-y work stuff was fun.
Oh, it was. And mm-hmm. and Chad did an amazing job with the aliens. And it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's goofy camp and it's
so
cute.
I went to, on Thursday, last, obviously not next, that would be weird. I went to the opening of the Burien Film Office. Forgot to invite Scott because I'm an asshole. At the Tin Room in Burien, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They screened the three winners from the Burien UFO Festival Film Fest, which was really cool. And John White, who produced the Maury Island Incident, is backing a 2 times a year film festival now. There will be the sort of film racy thing that happens for the UFO festival, and then a September Burien Film Festival. So we are going to get in on that.
Nice.
It was really cool. Saw a few people there that I recognized, but for the most part, it was a lot of new city folks. You know, like Chamber of Commerce people and whatnot.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that would have been good.
Dude, the Tin Room is kind of cool. It's got this little screen. Like, I mean, it's kind of like Rendezvous, but a little bit more intimate than Rendezvous. It's not as big as Rendezvous. It's not as big as Northwest Film Forum or anything like that. It's just a little tiny private theater with a bar and food, and they do their specialty drink right now is the Moscow Mule, which they call it that because apparently it knocks people on their ass.
Okay.
Aaron got two because my cousin ordered her one, and unknowing, I ordered her a second one accidentally, and she was like, well, you're driving. Glug. And, true to its name.
True to its name. Excellent.
Yeah.
It's from Moscow. I had a reading for Alec Clayton, who is a local theater critic, art critic, friend of theater in the South Sound, for whom I found out that... I am the record holder for most Best Dramatic Actor Awards.
Really?
Yes. I have three of his, and Christian and I shared a Best Comedic Actor Award for... it wasn't Puna. Oh, I think it was Stardust.
Mm.
We won for Best Comedic.
Scott's a discarded milk crate.
I am.
He's a record holder.
He's a...
Oh. You know why. Yeah, you know, though.
Yeah.
You've done it.
I know. I finished the West of Redemption. Speaking of West of Redemption, the West of Redemption website.
Oh, nice.
For the film. Yeah, so westofredemption.com.
Oh, see, that's a missed opportunity.
I know. But they didn't like that. And then there's westofredemptionthemovie.com.
Oh, yeah.
Which they both go to westofredemption.com. Yeah.
Good.
I don't know why people keep buying more complicated things than they need to, but they do.
I do, because it's this whole concept of brand protection, but at that level, it's kind of unnecessary.
Yeah.
The fact that you got westofredemption.com means you won already.
Right.
Like, if they were Sony, I could totally see that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but this is North By, right?
Well, it's Corey Moore,
mm-hmm.
Larry Estes, right. Tony Becerra.
So a lot of people involved with North By, but not necessarily.
I mean, it was filmed over in Eastern Washington, so North By was like whatever that producer level was.
Probably an insuring, they were probably just a participating producer.
Yeah.
Something. Cool.
So,
yesterday we did something.
Yeah, we did.
And we're still doing stuff about that today.
With Bluis.
We did. We blew it. Wait, what?
We blew Bluis up.
We didn't blew him.
Blew it up with Bluis.
Yeah. I guess we can talk about this because it's fucking happening. By the time people listen to this, it will have gone live, right? Pretty much. For the most part.
Hopefully, and it's not like people don't know that it's happening anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big banner on DG's website.
Yeah.
Or on DG's Facebook page that says May 18th.
Yes.
So the Blu-ray for Darkness Rising is, its Kickstarter is starting tomorrow.
Yep.
So, I don't think this is a bad story to tell at all. I think it's actually kind of funny. Due to a miscommunication by a number of people, and it wasn't just a miscommunication, it was an incommunicado miscommunication where assumptions were made, blah blah blah. We are throwing together Kickstarter video the 2 days before.
2 days before.
So Scott and Brian were able to free up their schedules, as was I. We went out and we shot our part of it. Don Early shot his up in Bellingham. We're now frantically editing it, almost like a film race style. But you know what? You guys don't care. You know why? It's Darkness Rising on Blu-ray.
On Blu-ray.
So you want to buy it. It's awesome.
Yes.
The reward levels are pretty interesting. So 13K is the bare minimum we need to press a disc, period.
Yep.
13K gets us the movie on a single layer disc in a blue plastic sleeve with a couple of tiny extras. I think a couple of commentary tracks, subtitle tracks, and a trailer or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I mean, that's it. Like, it's a bare
bones. It's all the space.
It's like when Blu-ray first released and HD DVD was the feature format and Blu-ray was the here's the fucking movie, now shut up format.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of that, Blu-ray. Now, that being said, $21,000. And this is, we can go into how expensive Blu-rays are to make and why it's so expensive to do this, but $21,000 is we get the Blu-ray filled so much, the disc will drip. When you take it out of the carton, it's a lot of stuff. It will have feature parity with the DVD plus, you know, obviously being high def. And additionally, it will have never before released on disc bonuses that we already have stocked.
Mm-hmm.
And then as stretch goals increase, we add more stuff.
Yeah.
Potentially more new stuff.
Yes.
So that's something very important to think about. Now, why is $21,000 what they need for a full featured dual layer Blu-ray disc? Because Sony. So
yeah.
Every Blu-ray disc that gets made has to be made through a special mastering software that has a bunch of patented crap in it that Sony gets a kickback on. So in order to make a Blu-ray disc, you have to go to a company. You can't master one on Premiere or on Encore in your house. You have to go to a mastering company. They have to generate all of this stuff for the menus. There's all sorts. You can't even make one that is you can make them region free, but you can't make them DRM free. It's against the spec.
Really?
Wow. Sort of. So the way you get around it is you make one, you make a zero length film on it, DRM'd, and then everything else DRM free, I believe, is how you get around it. Now, Blu-ray also includes an an H.264 spec. And the H.264 spec is the more open, so it all depends on what the mastering company decides to do.
Mm-hmm.
But they charge money for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, these mastering companies, I think it's because they start, like when they start up, they are on like razor thin margins. But after about 6 months, they're just, it's all fucking bank. Yeah. So they start up and like, we have to make our money, but we're not really going to pull the price back when it gets better, you know?
Yeah.
So, so it's very expensive to get a disc mastered. You can't do your own menus. You can send them your mock-ups, but they have to master your menus. They have to master everything. You cannot do anything self-service.
We should...
The $50,000 entry fee, I don't know if we can hit.
Mm.
It's really fucking expensive for the software.
Just work at Amazon longer.
I'll do what I can.
Okay, thanks.
So, that is why the disc...
It's a new Patreon. Help two bards become Blu-ray masters.
Yeah. It's 13K for a single disc, and then after taxes... I mean, that's like no profit to DG on the manufacturing, but what they would get out of that is stock to sell.
Right.
And then everybody basically would be pre-buying their discs. At 21,000, same thing. It's not like this... This is not one of the... Kickstarters that's to produce above and beyond until we hit filling the production costs. So that's the 21,000 is like, that's the last of the real big production cost. After that, stuff goes toward producing new content for the Blu-ray. So it'll be a lot of fun.
But, and the fact that it's dual layer and there's more stuff, which means we have to pay people more stuff. More money to put more stuff on, and more menus and more complex.
But that all stops at about 21,000. At that point, we're pretty good, and so anything else goes to producing new stuff. But anything we produce that goes on this disc is most likely SAG.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've had this discussion before about how SAG is not a cheap way to produce film, but it's the only choice we have. Yep. So. That would be the next steps, but we haven't released those yet, really. So keep your eye out, though. If we hit the 21,000, you'll see that open up and decide whether or not you want that. You probably do.
Probably.
If I'm being honest, you probably do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So should we get to questions? Because this...
We got to get back to editing quickly.
Again, that's tomorrow, Monday, the 18th of May. Keep your eye on the Dead Gentleman / Zoe / I'm sure we'll repost it.
Yeah.
Facebook pages, or just probably go to Kickstarter and search for Dead Gentleman and it'll pop up.
Yeah. Or Dorkness. Our questions, let's see, we'll leave Twitter for the end. So Paula Moran writes,
mm-hmm. Hey Paula,
have you played the new Mortal Kombat? And if so, do you think the level of violence goes too far, not far enough, or is just right? And if you have played it, do you have any favorite moves or fatalities?
So I have it. I own it on PC.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. The level of gore has now crossed the line to where it is almost comedic. So it used to be you add a little bit of blood, people flip their shit, right?
Right.
You do something like rip someone's head off. That's messed up.
Yeah.
Now we're at the point where it's so comedic. It's so over the top. It is just, it's cartoons, you know? It's claymation at this point. Like, you don't ever at any point believe the people you're playing are people.
And that's good.
Yeah, that is good. That's good.
That's really good.
It looks great. The developers for the PC... So this is an interesting thing because they did the console development and then ported back to the PC instead of the other way around, which is the normal way. And they all need to basically have their heads ripped off of their necks and... You know, whatnot. Because the PC port is broken as hell. Once you get into the game, it's fine. But like, my gaming laptop has a dual video card setup. It's got Intel 5500 integrated graphics for 2D desktop, you know, using Word, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then an NVIDIA, a built-in NVIDIA 880M with 4 gigs of dedicated memory. I mean, it's a dedicated video card for games, right? No, should be no problem for this game. None at all. The game could not figure out that that was the card I wanted to use. It kept trying to use the Intel. So it took forever to finally get it to run on the NVIDIA because it won't run on the Intel at all.
Right.
It'll be like, man, no. So I wanted to take my laptop out and uppercut the screen off of it. Yeah. Get over here! So, as for the violence level, I don't even think there's a conversation to be had about how it fits. It's Mortal Kombat. If you're... Yeah, I mean, if you've been following it, now there's like X-ray punches and, you know, you hit someone in the jaw with your knee and it shows a close-up and all their bones break, but they don't because obviously they'd be dead. So it's just over-dramatizing an individual strike. It's fucking weird. And it's the same engine as Injustice Gods Among Us, which is actually a really fun thing to play once you get over the fact that Batman and Superman can have a fisticuffs punch-punch and Batman can still be viable in that. So,
yeah.
I will say, though, Injustice Gods Among Us, you can dress up characters and it's really cool. Like,
nice.
Like, Green Arrow has the CW Arrow costume. It's really cool. It's like, which is the best thing out of that show is the fucking costume. I'm waiting because I'm sure with an update, Flash is going to get the CW Flash costume. So,
have you seen the stuff?
The movie from the 1980s with the white goo?
No. The stuff going around on CW buying up.
Oh, they're doing the huge conglomo DC universe combining. Yes, I have seen that.
But, and I just had the actor's name on the tip of my tongue. The guy who plays Arrow.
Oh, you're right.
Who is I love him.
I'll call him
in that.
Steven.
It's CW.
Yeah.
There's a certain...
He's a great actor.
Yes, he's
a
great
actor. They don't have that bar for everyone else.
Right. And to watch him on the island versus and how he acts versus mm-hmm. how
he
is.
He did a very good, yeah.
I mean, it's Steve Amell.
See, I was just saying Steven. It is, yeah, it's Steve
Amell. Okay. He came out on the carpet and said, season 3, the last time he dons the Arrow costume.
Not necessarily the last time he plays Arrow.
Unless it's the Green Arrow costume, because right now he's Arrow.
Right.
But then they're having the, I don't know, it's not Justice League, but it's the something or other where and Flash get...
They're doing the crossovers, they're doing the joinings, there are a bunch of other ones. Like, maybe this is a chance for Constantine to get saved. Maybe CW will be like, all right, let's do it. So, I don't know. Because there was a planned crossover, I think, for Constantine.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, he deserves it. It's a DC character. Come on.
Yeah, and the stuff that I saw of it...
It's good.
...to that point was amazing.
I mean, it's good. It was different for a TV show, which was great.
Yes.
I thought it was a very unique show. Flash, of course, big update there is that Grodd is now part of it. The giant sentient gorilla.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Cool.
Yeah, so...
I love sentient gorillas.
I mean, they talked about it early on in the series, but they never actually... There's just a lot of flashback stuff with people getting mad about...
Flashback.
Yeah,
I haven't seen any of Flash, so right. I need to catch up on that. Laura Adams, we're going to call out a couple of people who have posted things on the Two Bards site. And Laura Adams posted something about Known World Bardcast, KNOWNEWORLDBARDCAST, and says, this looks a bit familiar.
Not really.
Not really. So, if you squint, turn out the lights, and turn off the monitor, it looks strikingly familiar.
The term Bardcast is not ours, though I never heard it before we said it, but it is an obvious, like, we could not get a patent or copyright on that. It's a very obvious play on words.
Yes.
So I have no issue with someone else calling their podcast a Bardcast, because ours isn't even called Bardcast. We just say, hey, the next Bardcast is up.
Although I think we should get Bardketeers.
Yeah.
Patented.
Bardketeers could be trademarked, yeah.
Copyright.
Well, I don't know if anything Keteers can be trademarked because of Disney. So that's, I guess, Musketeer.
Bardketars.
Bardketars. Is that like a stringed instrument?
I'm playing my bard guitar.
Yeah. Remember guitar when you go see Mad Max, by the way.
Okay.
So this is I went to the site and checked it out on my phone while I was driving, or while I was being passenged home. I don't use my phone while I drive. So
I do.
Yeah, he does. We need to get you a couple of these, like, really terrifying Taiwanese commercials so you start crying and stuff and realize it's a bad idea. So I listened to they only had two episodes up at the time. They might have more now, they might not. I think it's monthly. But those episodes reach like 1,000 people because it's a very, very specific podcast. It's about Atlantia, I believe, is the barony, but it's a SCA podcast. It's about the Society for Creative Anachronism, which are people who go and pretend they live in a different time and live in and have fun in tents and take cloves out of oranges and bang a lot. That's really, if we're being honest, it's about fucking a lot of people. That's what the SCA is about. If you can't get laid in the SCA, you can't get laid. At all. So,
but is it about SCA in general, or is it just about their specific
realm? Well, it's definitely focused on their specific realm, but he has guests. I didn't get through the whole thing. It's not even the SCA that I am part of. So it's like he's over on the East Coast, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where Atlantia is. Not Georgia, but probably close. We are, of course, in Antier here. So.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Yes.
Well, yes. I mean, duh.
Right. Dumbass. So
okay.
Anyway, so if you're interested in the SCA, go give it a listen. The Known World Bardcast, known with an E at the end, because
not gnome, canoni.
Yeah, it's interesting, but it's definitely not anything like what we're doing.
No. Rob McLennan writes, if you could flush all of your current scholastic knowledge, which I've done pretty much already, in exchange for perfect knowledge in a single subject, at least as good as we currently have it, would you, and what would you choose?
I do not think I would.
I would not either.
Because having not a vast amount, but a wider amount of knowledge in a lot of areas has been incredibly helpful in life. And I feel like I'm happier for it. If I were to specialize in something and lose all of the general knowledge, I don't think I would be a happy camper.
Yeah, my sister was very book smart, mm-hmm. granted very many books, mm-hmm. as a young person. Real world, dumb as a fucking stump.
He probably loves her, though.
The stump loves my sister?
No, you're talking about your sister being dumb as a stump. I'm saying you say that with love.
Oh, no. Not at all.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely no love whatsoever. Now, we're getting there. She has two lovely young offspring that I love and adore.
The kids are all right.
The kids are all right. Mommy's not all right.
We went
Daddy's
too far with that joke, I think.
So and so. But
an offspring joke that we...
Yeah. Offspring and also Cheap Trick. It was a Cheap Trick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One of the
but
kids
I mean,
aren't all right.
You know, so. she was just so focused on being X that when anything else that wasn't book smarts came along,
mm-hmm.
she was just gobsmacked. And I fear, I'm already that way as it is. If I didn't have some general knowledge and mm-hmm. let's say I was a Zen master at web development,
mm-hmm.
I would not be able to keep a calendar, keep money. I probably wouldn't know how to walk. I would lose all. Yeah, I don't
right.
want that. I would rather be a jack of all trades and a master of none.
I want to be a jack of all trades and a master of one, that's where I would like to be. But I completely understand where you're coming from. For me, like, if I had to, if I was forced to, what would I pick? That's a really intense question because, you know, you could pick like economic theory or you know, statistics or whatever. Put yourself in a situation where you're likely to be able to game a system to get riches, kind of thing. But again, what are you going to spend them on if you don't have any general knowledge of anything? It seems like a very boring life. So at that point, if I had to pick, I would probably actually pick a pursuit that would help mankind. Like, I would pick like astrophysics or quantum physics or something where, you know, or medicine, specifically, like maybe an oncology, not oncology itself, because that's taking care of it. But, you know, like just sort of the study of cancerous cells or cancer growth, you know, something in that realm, perhaps. I feel like that would be more what I would want to do if I had to do it, rather than come up with something that was going to gyp people out of a... Oh, that's a racist word. Sorry. I always forget that the gyp is racist.
I would take potpourri for 1,000, Alex.
Yes, I would trade it for general knowledge. Exactly.
Exactly. Justin Everett has been a long time silent, but writing back in saying, how did the Pork Wellington from episode 93 turn out when I believe we had Mr. Keeter on the program? Would you have a modified version of the recipe we could share?
So the modification that I made was with pie crust instead of puff pastry. It was Alton Brown's recipe, but it removed the dried apples and the dried fruit and made it more savory with a sharp Welsh cheddar inside instead. It was delicious.
It was amazing, and that was reconstituted in a microwave.
It was
delicious.
I can
only imagine what fresh out of the oven would have been.
As far as the recipe, I can certainly try to put one up, but if you just go to Alton Brown's website, he has the recipe for his pork Wellington. And it's that in a pie crust with no apples plus cheese. That's it.
Welsh cheddar.
So a nice sharp but creamy cheddar.
I'm hungry.
I know. We haven't eaten. I mean, I had breakfast, I think, but that's about it. You had vomiting.
I had a Cliff Bar.
You had a Cliff Bar.
Some naked juice. And by naked juice, I mean some juice made by the company Naked.
Oh. I was like, I don't want your naked juice after you run.
I did try, who is it? Is it Nico, N-I-C-O, that makes the coconut water? Oh. They have a chocolate coconut water that was amazing. Now, it could have just been that I busted my ass through 5K, which I know, people, 5K doesn't sound like a lot. Give me a fucking break. It is for me. But it was like drinking chocolate milk. It was amazing, but it was coconut water and it was only coconut flavored. Chocolate flavored.
It wasn't like, there was no milk. Right.
And it was kind of a tasty beverage. Now, it could have been high on the endorphins.
Well, it could have been dehydration.
I could have been hallucinating.
Coconut water tastes really good after you've worked out or if you're dehydrated. It tastes really good.
Yeah. It was amazing.
It's like Gatorade. Gatorade tastes like, now it's sweeter than sodas, but back in the day when it came in a glass bottle and only came in that lemon melt your face flavor, it didn't taste good to drink when you weren't working out.
No, when you were working
out. Oh my God, it tasted like it was the most amazing tasting drink ever. It was the best lemonade shat in by magical wish-granting fairies who rubbed your temples. It was wonderful.
Yes. And Donald Evans, posted on our Facebook a wonderful meme of a barbarian, which I thought was awesome because I think animal is my spirit animal.
I don't think a Muppet can be your spirit animal. He can be your spirit Muppet.
Okay, then he's my spirit Muppet.
Mine's probably Dr. Teeth.
Yeah.
Or maybe Janice. Whoa.
Any of the musicians.
No, if I'm being honest, mine's probably Scooter. Because that's just my life. That's just my fucking life, man. Look at Zoe. I was Scooter.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
I like to think I was Fozzie Bear, but I probably wasn't. I was probably either Waldorf or Sadler.
It's probably true.
Hey, get him off the stage! He sucks!
Yeah.
Kermit didn't call that funny?
If Kermit didn't have a hand up his ass, it would have been a different story.
That's for you, Mike Ott. Well, I think we're...
Thomas Brophy, you missed the Twitter one.
Right.
Come on, man.
Come on, get it going. Thomas Brophy, at Thomas A. Brophy. If you could change one main thing about how the film industry is in Seattle, what would it be?
Oh, boy. So, if I could change one main thing, because there are a lot of options here. There would be an influx of money is a main thing, which would give more people opportunities. But it wouldn't change, I don't think, the sort of the feel of the place. Honesty would be my change, but it would have to be this is it's like a caveat, is like a little asterisk wish. Honesty, but both giving and receiving openness to that. So open to give honest feedback and be honest about what you like and be honest about what you don't like. Because one of the things we didn't talk about is when Tyler was here, is there are people who are dishonest about what they like because it's trendy to hate stuff.
Right.
Or they feel like because they like it, you know, maybe they're seen as less than. So it's just honesty would be my, if we could inject honesty both ways, two-way street, everyone's just like has to rip off the Band-Aid and deal with it. That would be totally what I would inject.
Yes, and receiving things honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
And not just, oh yeah, tell me what you think, and then ignoring it.
Well, and honesty means yourself too, though. It doesn't, right. It doesn't mean I'm telling this person how I feel about their film, ha ha ha. It means I'm telling myself how I feel about the film that I just made.
Right.
Like yesterday, on short notice, we recorded something, and the frame's not right, and I know it's not right. It's too heavily balanced to the right, so Scott gets cut off a little more than I'd like. We didn't really have time to refilm it. Brian even noticed it. And I said, it's fine because it is fine. But if I'm being honest, it's not the best frame. It's not the frame that I would, if we'd had all day, it wouldn't have been the frame I would have kept. But we also, if we had all day, it would have been a different story anyway.
Right.
So we would have had dancing bears.
And I would say something like that on the same thing, an influx of money so that we could all get paid well for our craft, so that we wouldn't have to fund everything through kickstarting and whine and moan about the fact that we don't have money because we're too lazy to go out and get the money that we need for the thing. We'd just rather rely on a non-existent plethora of people that we don't know thinking that we came up with a good idea and throwing money at us to do something. And I think that it would be really awesome to be able to critique and be critiqued in an open, loving, moving forward kind of way. And, you know, I know that's a lot of hand-holding, la-la-la, Walden Pond bullshit, but if I could change, that's what I'd change. So.
I agree. But out of the two, I pick honesty.
Yeah.
Because I believe that if we were truly honest with each other and ourselves, the money would eventually show up.
Yes, because we'd make things that would attract money.
Right.
All right, so.
All right, I forget who started last week. That, you go first.
Okay.
We want to say thank you to our Patreon backers.
Yes, so thank you, Leslie Sidlack.
Tom McKinney.
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment.
Bradley Swan.
Trampas Johnson.
Gordon D. Duke.
Digby Davis, LLC, Kathy Davis and Seth Digby.
There we go. Paula Moran.
Amanda Cook.
Mike Ott.
James Herbert.
Matthew Hunt.
Tim Martin.
Rob McLennan.
Lotta Jerf.
Laura Adams.
Tom Brophy.
Tom Stewart.
Donald Evans.
Brad Roberts.
Jennifer Reifenberry.
Rival Guy.
And more to come.
More to come. Again. You get your name said if you are at the $5 or above pledge level. And we're sticking to that. I know a lot of people will, you know, make a concession and go down to the $1. But we want to thank the people who are giving us $5 because that's really kind of awesome. So $5 and above, get your name said.
Thank you in general to all those who are pledging $1.
And next month, if everything works if everything clears, next month we're going to have a really big thank you to give.
Really big thank you.
Huge thank you. And I can't wait to do it because he's a really nice guy.
Yes.
But we're also going to have to film some stuff.
We have to
at that point.
What a shame.
No, I know, right? It's great.
I know a great location that has trees.
Me too.
Okay.
I wonder. So Neil deGrasse Tyson,
if you're listening,
why haven't you contributed to our Patreon?
Exactly.
It's not like you don't have the cash.
You're made of money and carbon.
Maybe he gave up all of his general knowledge and is now just an astrophysics sort of jerkwad and doesn't give back the little guy. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe.
Your wallet's
happened to Bill Nye.
Your wallet's not a black hole, buddy. Just come on, give it up.